This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
707, 67 degrees in Chapel Hill, and lots of sunshine today. Mostly sunny, in fact. High today, about 90. Another really warm day, exactly like yesterday. At 8:46 a.m. on September 11th, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Almost no one knew what was going on until 17 minutes later, when things began to become a little more clear.
At 9:03 a.m., United Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center after also being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Two more planes crashed in the next hour. At 9:37 a.m., five more terrorists flew American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon. At 10:03 a.m., the final plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, southeast of Pittsburgh, claiming all the lives of United Flight 93, including the four hijackers.
Weeks after the attacks, more than 6,000 were estimated to be killed. However, when the deaths were confirmed, the number rested just below 3,000. In the World Trade Center, 2,606 people were confirmed dead, including police and fire officials, EMS and first responders, and 147 people died in the two planes, plus the five hijackers. At the Pentagon, 125 people died, with 59 lives claimed from the flight, plus the five hijackers. And in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 people died, plus the four hijackers.
Each year at 8:46 in the morning, America pauses to remember the lives lost on September 11th. I spoke with a few Chapel Hill Carborough locals to discuss that day, what it was like then, and what it means to them now.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
I was going to my office, and I had just stopped to get a cup of coffee at Whole Foods, which is right at the edge of Raleigh. I heard something on the radio, which I couldn't quite, you know, I wasn't paying full attention, and it didn't make any sense.
I don't remember exactly, but we were in the office, and the words, you know, we didn't have a television in the office, so words sort of began to dribble in. The main thing was, what do I do with my employees? Do we need to stay together, and or do they need to get home?
At the time, I was a young lawyer, brand new at the job at the Center for Death Penalty Litigation in Durham, and I remember some other people arrived in the office and said that somebody had fired a rocket at one of the World Trade Center towers, and we were all just kind of disbelief, like, well, that just can't be true.
I was on my way to the law school at North Carolina Central University, where I work. I had stopped by the post office in Durham, and when I got back in the car, I heard on the radio, you know, about the first tower being hit, I guess. Then I came on to school.
I remember hearing Matt Lauer say something about, oh my goodness, what is that?
Okay, I have got to interrupt you right now.
Sorry.
Richard Hack, thank you very much. We appreciate the book is called Hughes. We want to go live right now and show you a picture of the World Trade Center, where I understand, do we have it? No, we do not. We have a breaking story, though. We're going to come back with that in just a moment. First, this is Today on NBC.
This just in, you are looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
And that was about 8:46, I guess. And at first they thought it was a small plane that had flown off course and hit the tower. And, of course, you're just captivated looking at that on TV.
I walked by a television, and there was the picture of the crash. And, again, it just sort of made no sense.
As they were showing the fire on the first tower, I remember very vividly standing there watching television and seeing the second plane hit the other tower.
I was in my office. One of the other workers in the office came in and asked if I had heard that a second plane had struck in New York City. And then at that time, of course, just as with everyone, we all realized this was something serious.
And then when we got the news about the plane that crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, I mean, that confirmed that this clearly was a coordinated attack, and it was an attack that obviously had been planned for a long, long time. And I think that's why there was so much willingness to give the government some leeway, try to get to the bottom of this thing.
Then there were more news reports coming out about evacuating the Capitol and other attacks on Washington. And it was, you know, we were all concerned about what was going to happen next. And there was a great sense of helplessness, I think.
It was as if the whole country just was on pause for several days while we tried to kind of sort through the ramifications of what this might mean.
I think the terrorists won because the Patriot Act infringes on so many of our civil liberties. It's threatening our constitutional rights. I think they won in the sense that every time we go through the airport, it's a great struggle. I think they won in the sense that we now have a secret court and secret spying on everybody.
Those pictures are now iconic as you see people falling from the towers or running down the street with that cloud chasing them. And then all of the heroics that we came to learn about after the fact, and the first responders and all of the things they did, you know, that's another clear sign of what we see in any disaster or event of this sort. We see that people rise to the occasion and do extraordinary things.
I remember the pride that I think many Americans felt in those first responders who responded to the crashes in the towers, watching those towers fall and realizing that all those heroes' lives were likely lost, along with thousands of people.
I would say the overall impression was not only horror, but disbelief at what we were seeing and what we were actually hearing. And it just was hard to get our heads around it. And frankly, that's true still to this day.
I think it's a reminder of a tragedy. All of us have people who we are connected with, who lost people in the particularly in the Twin Tower catastrophe. It reaches, I think, to many people in the country and to me, that it's a personal kind of thing that you can't think about today without thinking, here's some really good person who was going about his or her business, and many of them, young people, were on their way to a successful career, and it just kind of stopped.
That is probably the boldest and most frightening of events that any of us could really imagine.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
That was former Senator Ellie Kinnaird, Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, Carborough Alderman member Lydia Lavelle, to who's talking on WCHL, D.G. Martin, and local activist Fred Black. We all remember September 11th, and Rand Northam, do you remember what you were doing when it happened?
I remember it like it was yesterday, like it was today. I was in eighth grade. I was in Latin class, and a teacher from across the hall came in. We were at a small... I was at a small private school. We didn't have TV. We didn't have cable in the building. Just radio was how we heard it. And we didn't even hear it. It was a teacher across the hall came across and just whispered into the ear of our teacher that something had happened. And the announcement came out from that teacher saying that we think some of the top floors of the World Trade Center might have been hit. And I right then wasn't thinking, well, what's the World Trade Center? I wasn't thinking the Twin Towers. So I was thinking a, you know, 10, 20-story building, the top floors are hit. And, you know, it was a small plane were the original thoughts. And so, you know, well, this isn't going to be quite the disaster that it was. And I didn't end up seeing images, pictures, video, anything until I got home that day. Of course, we heard of the terrible thing that it was later, but it was just incredible. My dad was an American Airlines pilot, so he knew a couple people on one of the flights, a couple of the flight attendants, and of course, my family members from around the nation at that point were concerned. Luckily, he was home and not flying that day. But I'll never forget that day. Where were you that day?
Well, it was rather unusual circumstances. I was hosting the morning show here on WCHL, also a simulcast on WDNC. Mm-hmm. We're broadcasting live out of the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, and we just happened to have CNN on. We always had the TV monitor on in the studio, as we do here, and it was on CNN. And I saw, shortly after 8:46 when it happened, I saw the image on the CNN screen of that first plane hitting the first tower. And everybody thought at that point that it was some horrible accident. Then it was just a little while later. We were stunned because of the magnitude of the thing, but we thought it was an accident. Then when the other Twin Tower was hit, that's when everybody, it became clear that it was not an accident, that it was something that was very well orchestrated, and it was just a horrible thing, and it got worse as the day went on, as we saw more images of the other crashes, and we saw all the just stark, vivid images of people in New York City and people everywhere grieving and, you know, fearing for their lives and the lives of loved ones. And it was just a horrible day, and it will live on in my mind forever. I remember going back on. We went into news at the top of the hour. Then I remember going back on live to talk about it, and it was just a horrific day. And I know it's etched in everybody's mind.
Yes, definitely. And you can hear all of those comments again. That's posted on our website, chapelboro.com. And in that, you heard Matt Lauer on Today. And then the second clip was a female voice. That was from CNN. So that was likely the exact moment that you saw the first breaking news from CNN that you just alluded to. It was amazing talking to these people that nobody hesitated, and just as neither of us hesitated, I know we talked briefly about it yesterday in preparation of this, but no one hesitates, anyone that was alive that day, hesitates about where they were when it happened and how it happened, and it's ingrained into all of our minds, and I imagine we'll never leave. It's and I can't remember who I was talking to, maybe Fred Black, and just talking about what it equals in the past, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, where people were when that happened, the assassination of both President Kennedy as well as Martin Luther King, and just all of those moments in history. It is certainly one of the biggest, most memorable, in the most horrible way that can possibly be for many people.
Absolutely. Out of that, there came a newfound respect for firefighters in particular.
Certainly did.
Police officers, all emergency workers like that, but particularly firefighters, because so many of them lost their lives. And we know people right here in Chapel Hill who knew some of those firefighters who lost their lives. And in fact, there were firefighters who came from all over the country to help with all the aftermath of all of that. And, you know, it's something that changes everybody.
Fred Black referenced it when he was talking. He said that, you know, it was amazing and wonderful to see how America steps up in times of disaster. And it always happens. You think of hurricanes and natural disasters as well as things just terrible like this, that we come together in the worst of times, and we really did then. And, you know, it makes you think of just, you know, just how life really is. And we certainly do remember today those less than 3,000 people that died in these attacks, and you think of all the soldiers that have died since then, the wars that we are in because of, not specifically always specifically because of these attacks, but there's certainly connections there, and we're in ongoing conflicts. No matter how big or small, there are people, our soldiers, dying almost every day, and we thank them so much for what they do, continue to do, and have done over the years.
And that is one of the major reasons why people do not want to see us get involved in Syria.
Very true.
You know, because, you know, we have this other stuff still going on. Everybody knows the magnitude of all that. And so everybody's fairly adamant about, well, not everybody, I guess, but people very adamant about not getting involved in the same kind of thing all
exactly.
over again.
And a lot of conversation, a lot of deliberation going on right now to make sure, or at least as they say, to make sure that we don't get into the same conflict, into the same situation that we were in years ago. Now, this one is different. I was thinking about it this morning. This one is very different. The Syria situation was not a direct attack on us.
No.
So the immediate strike was not necessarily. You know, so that is, you know, it's, I personally think it's very good that we are taking the time to think this through and make sure that we don't take irrational action and just jump into something that we can't afford or that we can't handle or anything like that.
I don't want to see any more people killed because of it.
So true.
September 11th, 2001. A day that will live on forever, and you know, you were around back then. You know what you were doing, where you were, who you talked to, all of those sorts of things. And again, we appreciate the comments of Ellie Kinnaird, Mark Kleinschmidt, Lydia Lavelle, D.G. Martin, Fred Black, and we know that what they said pretty much echoes what a lot of people would say if we talk with them about that fateful day. And we'll do this again next hour on WCHL. A special tribute to those whose lives were lost, and a special remembrance of a day that will live on forever.
That's so true.
Thanks very much for to you, Rand, for putting all that together. And it helps bring it all home. And I remember after this, there was such a feeling of patriotism and togetherness, everybody on the same page.
That's right.
And we all felt that we were, as Americans, we were together, you know. And I feel like some of that feeling has faded. And
it dwindles over time. It certainly does.
I, you know, don't like to see it do that. I wish we could all remain united, you know.
I think this day every year kind of brings us back together for a moment. But
exactly.
It does dwindle again. And every year, I think you're right, it gets weaker and weaker. But it's days like today that, you know, you've got July 4th and we can celebrate our independence that day. But it's days
sure.
like today when we can come together as Americans and really support one another. And I hope that that can continue on. Despite that tragic day.
Well, Rand, again, thanks for putting that together, and we'll do this again next hour in WCHL, and let's switch gears now, and why don't we go to traffic and weather together on WCHL.
Certainly.
We do have a lot more news to tell you about this morning, and we have WCHL Championship Sports as well. We'll do our best to get all of that to you, but right now, let's take a look at the roadways on WCHL, and our traffic report this morning is brought to you by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. Savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. And now, here's Rand with a look at the roadways.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. Moving smoothly on your way to work. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, presented by Southern Season. Stop by for delicious food and great wine during their September Food and Wine Festival with gourmet food samples, wine tastings, live music, and other in-store events at University Mall in Chapel Hill or online at southernseason.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill, 68 in Carborough. A little patchy fog this morning, otherwise mostly sunny today and exactly like yesterday's weather. High today about 90. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 65. And then tomorrow, partly sunny. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. And the high tomorrow, about 90 degrees. So really warm weather here for the next couple of days. It will cool off a bit on Friday, our high on Friday, in the low 80s.
It's just as important as a good cup of coffee. Start your day with the only radio station that brings you local news about local people right here in our local community. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, once again, here's Ron Stutz.
Other than September 11th, our top story of the day, Gene Rank, who lives off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, was one of many residents who have said that no matter how many public meetings are held, they won't be happy with the proposed plans for the Central West area.
Makes me more upset the more I find out about it, because I just don't think it makes any sense.
Rank joined a crowd of close to 200 people last night as part of the Central West Steering Committee's public feedback session. It was a chance for Chapel Hillians to review maps laying out possible land uses and building heights for new development along the Estes Drive corridor. The four different map versions featured mixed-use development located on the north side of Estes near the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard intersection. Plans call for residential development to be located closer to schools, as well as a mix of office, institutional, and higher-density housing to the south. She said she believed it would create more traffic and density problems near her neighborhood.
This is an exercise in futility to develop this particular parcels right here on Estes Drive, which is already overcrowded.
Amy Ryan, co-chair of the committee and a Chapel Hill Town Council candidate, said the committee was aware of the numerous issues that the residents were apprehensive about, such as an increase in traffic and the safety of school children in the area. Ryan said that the committee would continue recognizing those concerns while trying to achieve the vision of the Chapel Hill 2020 plan.
I think it's important for people to remember that we're still at the stage where what we're presenting is ideas that we're thinking about. that, and we're bringing them out to the community tonight to get feedback from them so that when we actually make decisions on what we want to see in our plans, that we have that community feedback.
But some committee members, like Julie McClintock, argued a fifth map ought to be included. That lower density map is a version drafted by an unofficial subgroup, and members have said they can't support any of the committee's concept plans. That group, along with other concerned citizens, set up outside of the meeting last night at Amity Methodist Church. They displayed their own map, information, and renderings with the message that the Central West planning area was not the place for intensive urban development.
Somehow we've ended up with a set of plans which really don't jive with what the community's happy with. And the idea to this whole process was we were going to take it out to the community, see what they liked, come back, adjust, go back.
Michael Parker, co-chair of the Central West Steering Committee and Transportation Board representatives, said the committee would take all of the feedback, both good and bad, and incorporate it into discussions at their meeting on September 19th.
First, I would encourage them to make sure that they fully understand where we are in the process and what's being thought about or what's being considered in the options.
Parker added the committee was on target to make final recommendations to the town council November 25th. Now, there's a special work session coming up tonight. Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss plans to rewrite the town's land use codes to fit the new comprehensive plan laid out in the Chapel Hill 2020 process. That work session tonight begins at 6 o'clock in Meeting Room B of the Chapel Hill Public Library. All the details on this story coming up on our website, coming up later in the morning, and also on our website at chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 728. And we will have WCHL Championship Sports coming up in just a little while on WCHL. Also, our Chansky Sports Notebook and an update from CBS in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tony Hall, real estate broker at Tony Hall & Associates. When you put your house on the market, it only has one chance to make a good first impression to a prospective buyer. Let Tony Hall & Associates advise you on how best to make that important first impression. Contact us today, 919-933-8500 or TonyHallAssociates.com. At Tony Hall & Associates, we don't just list houses, we sell them.
Welcome to the landscape. This is Brian Pop with Landscape Logic. Don't just overseed this fall, but improve the condition of your soil by aerating and top dressing your lawn with organic soil conditioner. This will create an avenue for water and nutrients so they can get to the root zone of the plant where it is needed, saving you money. For a free estimate or to get on our schedule, please call Yvonne at our office at 919-419-1926 or email us at landscapelogicnc@gmail.com. We'll see you next time in the landscape.
This is it. It's football time. That means there's only one place to get every bit of Carolina and college football stats, commentary, photos, sideline news, and much, much more. It's Chapelboro's Huddle Up with a Heel section.
Shotgun snap to Renner. He drops straight back. Plenty of time. Goes to the end zone. Ebron catches it for six. What a play by the Tar Heel tight end.
And it's jam-packed with everything you'll need to know this season, plus extras you weren't even expecting. So don't get blindsided. Check out chapelboro.com/huddle up all season long.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover Weather presented by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. It's 69 degrees right now. A little foggy this morning in some spots, otherwise mostly sunny today. Another really warm day. Our high temperatures today up around 90.
This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, and streaming live at chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Diplomacy gets a chance, but U.S. action against Syria is still on deck.
I've ordered our military to maintain their current posture, to keep the pressure on Assad, and to be in a position to respond if diplomacy fails.
President Obama, in his nationwide speech last night, he's on board with Syria's tentative agreement to give international control over chemical weapons stockpiles. White House correspondent Major Garrett.
The speech was not the call to arms as originally drafted. It was a call to wait, to see if diplomacy might actually defuse the Syrian crisis. Waiting, of course, also gave the president time to address persistent questions in Congress and around the country about his military goals.
Congress won't be voting right now on whether to authorize force against Syria. Capitol Hill correspondent Nancy Cordes on CBS this morning.
There is a group that is working on crafting a new resolution that takes into account Assad's offer to turn over his chemical weapons. Most of them don't trust Assad, but they still think that this approach is preferable to the alternative.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with
Ebron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
68 degrees, 732 at WCHL. Again, it is September 11th, and on this date in 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. We all know what happened with the Twin Towers on that fateful day. We have a special feature that we will be presenting again in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, including the comments of Ellie Kinnaird, Mark Kleinsmith, Lily Lavelle, D.G. Martin, and Fred Black. Everybody remembers where they were, what they were doing on that particular day in 2001. And you can go to our website also to get all the details on that. That's chapelboro.com. Now, as we talked just a few moments ago, the Central West Planning Area met last night. Close to 200 people showed up. A lot of those people were protesting what the committee was coming up with. There were four maps drawn, and there was another group, along with other concerned citizens who sat outside the meeting at Amity Methodist Church, displaying their own map, information, and renderings with the message that the Central West Planning Area was not the place for intensive urban development.
Somehow we've ended up with a set of plans which really don't jive with what the community's happy with. And the idea to this whole process was we were going to take it out to the community, see what they liked, come back, adjust, go back.
That is Julie McClintock, who was arguing that a fifth map ought to be included. For more information about Tuesday night's public feedback session, you can read this article on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Now, there is other news to report this morning. Jonathan Reel announced yesterday he is withdrawing as a candidate for the Chapel Hill Town Council. He told WCHL's Aaron Keck in an email, quoting here, "Unfortunately, I've had to withdraw based on some personal health matters." Reel is a political strategist, professor, and musician. The withdrawal of Reel now leaves nine candidates competing for four seats on the council. We've had some shakeups following former State Senator Ellie Kinnaird's resignation. In less than a month, Representative Valerie Fouché of Chapel Hill was appointed to the Senate. And in turn, the process to fill her seat is now underway. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with Ted Benson, who is chair of the 4th Congressional District and is charged with overseeing these complicated processes.
One member of a body resigns and is replaced. Oftentimes, that does have a sort of domino effect.
It has been a busy couple of weeks for Benson, and the work isn't over yet. Sunday, the District 23 Democratic Party's Executive Committee announced that Fouché would be the new senator to represent Orange and Chatham counties. Benson says he mailed an official letter to North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory the morning after Fouché was nominated. Governor McCrory has 7 days to accept the nomination, after which it will go into effect immediately by law. As Fouché steps into her new role as senator, her House seat will become vacant and the nomination process will begin again with a different executive committee. The group is made up of officials from District 50, which encompasses parts of rural Orange and Durham counties. The four-member committee will vote and make the nomination for Fouché's replacement. Benson will oversee the process but will not vote.
We would move with, you know, reasonable speed, but also taking time to make sure that we get the candidates who want to get in and that the public gets to know who those are and gets to know who the committee members are and that the committee members, most importantly, can get to know the candidates.
Benson says he expects to hold a public information session within the next 2 weeks to discuss the vacant House seat and to appoint a new representative within the next 30 days.
Well, they don't normally happen often in any given district, but if you look across North Carolina, this kind of thing happens every year somewhere.
Benson, who has a professional background in science as a field biologist and a biochemist, has been a volunteer with the Democratic Party for years and has worked on several state campaigns. He credits Don Davis, a state senator and chairman of the 1st Congressional District, for being a resource as he navigates through a complicated procedure.
It's actually been a really good experience. The state Senate piece was a lot of work. It was unexpected, and it was a logistical challenge.
For more information on how to submit your name for the House vacancy, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Construction is underway again at the Family Fair BP off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, the source of the gasoline leak in Crow Branch Creek last month. A gasoline tank is being installed at that site. Bishop Construction Company was doing renovation work at the BP just before the time of the leak. Sometime in the early morning hours of August 2nd, falling concrete punctured a hole in one of the fiberglass tanks at the gas station. The breached compartment held about 3,200 gallons of gasoline at the time of the incident, though the full amount was not leaked. Gasoline escaped from a sump pump connected to a storm drain, which then flowed directly into Crow Branch Creek, a feeder of Booker Creek and Eastwood Lake. An unnamed tributary to Crow Branch Creek near Critz Drive and Booker Creek at North Lakeshore Drive registered levels of toluene, a substance found in gasoline, which equated to a state stream standard violation. Marvin Barnes of M.M. Fowler, the company which owns the gas station, and William Bishop of the construction company were cited as a result of the leak. The parties have until September 15th, four more days, to respond to the North Carolina Department of Environmental and Natural Resources and could face five state violations and fines up to $25,000. At a work session tonight, the Chapel Hill Town Council will discuss plans to rewrite the town's land use codes to fit the new comprehensive plan laid out in the Chapel Hill 2020 process. Now, we all know that everybody is passionate about this because it is talking about Chapel Hill's future, as evidenced by the turnout last night at Amity Methodist Church. Later this month, the town of Chapel Hill will host a series of events to get public input on topics including stormwater controls, commercial signage, and regulations for bed and breakfasts. Tonight, a consultant with Code Studios will be on hand to present the timeline for the project and highlight key milestones for the town council. The work session begins at 6 o'clock in Meeting Room B at the Chapel Hill Public Library. WCHL News Time, 7:38. Rand Northam is in our studio to talk about chapelboro.com.
Yeah, D.G. Martin has a new column up on a local author talking about being a liberal in the South. So some interesting stuff in that one. Jordan Rogers has a new column up in Huddle Up with the Heels on Fedora's offense. It's a breakdown of the spread offense with screenshots from the last game against Middle Tennessee State with animated GIFs and all kinds of analysis. So Jordan putting a good bit of interesting information into that one. Also on Huddle Up, of course, sign up for College Pick'em. If you haven't signed up already, you can still win prizes. It's a week-to-week or season-long event, so you can compete against Ron, myself, Aaron Keck, who still leads the way of our Chapelboro personalities, Rachel Nash, Kenny Dyke, Zach Godwin, many more people. Jordan Rogers on there as well, so you'll certainly want to sign up for that and make your picks for this week. The game's right around the corner.
All right.
Voting has begun for the best shortlist, or the shortlist for best place for game day activities as well, so make your voice heard for that. That and much more available on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
Thanks a lot, Rand. Coming up next on WCHL, not only will we present today's commentary from Raleigh Mann, who talks about a local movie theater and getting carried away with commercials and previews. That's on the way. And we'll also present our Chansky Sports Notebook, which we didn't get a chance to do a few minutes ago. 7:40 at WCHL.
Hi, this is Betsy Bertram from Townsend Bertram & Company, Carver's premier locally owned adventure outfitters. We want to thank the community by inviting you to join us for our 25th anniversary celebration this Saturday, September 14th from 4 to 8. Bring the entire family as we'll have activities for all, including a climbing wall for kids and adults, and live performances from two awesome local bands, the Air Mountaineers and Kairova. We'll be raffling away premium gear, including jackets from Patagonia and Arc'teryx and shoes from Keen, Merrill, and Anu, as well as gift certificates from other local businesses. We will be serving veggie burgers hot off the grill, and in our outdoor beer garden, we will be pouring TB&C Adventure Ale, specially crafted by our neighbors at Steel String Brewery. The party is from 4 to 8 this Saturday in front of our shop, located in historic Carmel. Visit facebook.com/TownsendBertram for more details. See you Saturday.
The Orange County Partnership to End Homelessness is seeking volunteers and donations for Project Connect. This is a free event that provides essential services to those who otherwise could not afford them. Volunteers can greet guests and assist with the event setup and breakdown. Project Connect will be on Thursday, October 10th from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hargraves Community Center at 216 North Roberson Street in Chapel Hill. For more information, call 919-245-2496.
For great food and infinite sports on game day or night, the new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is your next stop. Locally owned and operated, Tobacco Road features fresh, local ingredients, down-home classics, and gourmet entrees, plus a wide selection of North Carolina beers on tap. Exceptional service is also on every menu, from your servers to the chef preparing your order. In Infinite Sports, we have every available sports package on TVs throughout the restaurant for your viewing comfort. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe. Now open in Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center.
College football season is here, and ChapelBurrow.com is offering you the chance to show off your football smarts by playing in the College Football Pick'em Contest.
Each week, you will choose the winners of 10 select college football games, with weekly prizes awarded to the top contestants. The results are posted, so this is your chance to see how you stack up against your friends and to compete against WCHL personalities, including Ron Stutz, Art Chansky, Rand Northam,
and me, Rachel Nash. To play right now, visit chapelboro.com/huddle up.
743 at WCHL. Now let's hear what Art Chansky has to say.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
On the 12th anniversary of 9/11, do you remember where you were? This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. If you were born before the mid-1950s, you remember where you were when JFK was assassinated. I was a freshman in high school, horsing around in social studies class when an announcement came over the intercom, something about the president. Later that day, our football coach made us run around the field a few times and then sent us home to await word whether Friday's game would be played. It wasn't, and as the state of Massachusetts and the country mourned, pretty much everything was canceled. In 10 weeks, it'll be 50 years. There were other times as sad, like the deaths of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and proud memories like Alan Shepard, John Glenn, and Neil Armstrong taking giant steps for mankind. As I recall from being outside that time of the year, most of those occurred in the spring and summer. Where were you when we invaded Kuwait in 1990? Maybe in or on the way to the Dean Dome, or home getting ready to watch the game with NC State when it was canceled. September 11th is a memory that sticks for sure. Tuesday morning, early in the first full work week after Labor Day. Maybe you watched the New York Giants lose at Denver on Monday Night Football. Recently, I read somewhere the Giants landed in Newark at the next gate where Flight 93 was boarding an hour or so later. I was at Jan's house with the TV on in the background, then heard some reports about a small plane hitting one of the Twin Towers. Carolina was ready to feel better by beating up on Patsy SMU after losing its first three games on the road at Oklahoma, Maryland, and Texas. Then that game was postponed until the end of the season, and the Tar Heels would surely open 0-4 for the first time since 1988 because their next opponent was nationally ranked Florida State. You recall what happened in that game after the nation was trying to recover from 9/11. Yes, that 41-9 win sure made us feel good. In sports elsewhere, Barry Bonds was on a home run tear, Michael Jordan was hinting about another comeback, Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi had a match for the ages, and Serena and Venus Williams actually played each other in the U.S. Open women's final. Then the world stopped one Tuesday morning. Stop for a moment today and remember where you were. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Thanks, Art. I can echo just about every single one of those thoughts. It is a day that we all remember. It's 7:45 at WCHL.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. We live in a society driven by greed, and we need no clearer evidence of that than the cancer-like spread of advertising into virtually every aspect of our lives. This pitcher's earned run to average is brought to you by Harry's Storm Door Company. The Supreme Burger Avocado Bowl will take place in the Safeway Insurance Stadium. Too many commercials back-to-back-to-back ad nauseum have ruined television watching for me, probably for you too. To seek relief from this relentless assault on our intelligence, we occasionally go out to see a movie when a good one comes to Chapel Hill. Last week one did, so we went. We arrived 15 minutes before the movie's scheduled time, and only one other car was in the parking lot. 7 minutes before the movie's scheduled starting time, the screen lit up with a commercial advertisement, and the speakers blasted out its message at full volume. We had to hold our ears. This assault continued through 20 screaming commercials in a row. You heard right, 20. These were followed by previews, all extremely loud. We endured 7 of these blasting at us, and now it was 15 minutes past the scheduled time for the movie that we came to see. With yet another preview blasting away, we retreated to the lobby, asked for our money back, and left. Just one block away, a different theater was showing the very same movie. Its parking lot was full. We had to park in a more distant lot. The movie had just started. We quietly slid into our seats and enjoyed a terrific show. On our way home, we noticed that the parking lot of the first theater now had 4 cars in it. So here's a suggestion for movie theater companies. We want you to make a profit, of course, but get greedy and you'll fail. If you want people to come to your theater to see movies and buy overpriced snacks, tell the truth. Start the feature film at the time advertised. Cut way back on the commercials and turn down the sound. Try that. See if it works. Check your parking lot. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
I could not be more proud of my ring, honestly.
That's Haley Best, Miss North Carolina 2011, talking about her engagement ring from Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
Every single time I show my ring to a friend or a stranger, their next question is, what does your fiancé do for a living? And my answer is, he shops at Diamonds Direct, because that's all I can say. That's the only way I can explain it.
Fiancé Andrew Jernigan agrees. After dozens of stores and hundreds of diamonds, Diamonds Direct was the obvious choice for his beauty queen.
Selection like no one's ever seen. You feel like you walked into King Solomon's mines. There are diamonds everywhere. No one could offer me a value remotely close to Diamonds Direct, and that is literally comparing in-store, online, across the entire United States.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree.
You'd have to see Haley's ring to believe it. You'd say, oh my God, where did you get this? Well, we can tell you where we got it. We got it at Diamonds Direct, and never felt better about any purchase I've made.
Best decision we ever made.
Without a doubt.
On Glenwood, outside Crabtree Valley Mall, across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Don't try harder, enjoy more. Imagine experiencing a richer life without the striving, stress, and frustration we can heap upon our lives. My name is Kenneth Pinard, lead pastor at Grace Church in Chapel Hill. There's a better way to do life than gritting your teeth, trying harder, and hoping things get better. Join us this month at Grace Church as we explore a life perspective that is biblical, grace-filled, and fun. Your world will come alive afresh with a new lens on life. Grace Church, reaching people, building lives. GraceLife.com.
Terra Nova Global Properties is locally owned. We're on Main Street in Carrboro, affectionately known as the Paris of the Piedmont. The global in our name means we are trained and qualified to find you a pied-à-terre in Paris, the real one. I'm Mariana Fiorentino, owner and broker. Around the corner or around the globe, we are focused on international buyers moving here or those of you chasing your dream to live abroad.
Terra Nova Global Properties, focused on you. Online at terranovaglobal.com.
749, 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. More on the weather coming up in just a few moments here on WCHL. Right now, time for traffic, brought to you by Crown Honda of Sound Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of Sound Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now with traffic, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. A good start to the morning so far. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway, not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Talk to you again just a little while here.
You bet.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carpenter Weather, presented by Legacy Investments. Attend a free seminar on group insurance programs for small business owners and find out how to save money and offer your employees better coverage. Call 919-960-1547. Legacy Investments. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill, 68 in Carborough, also 68 in Hillsborough this morning. A little foggy in some spots, otherwise mostly sunny. High today about 90. You will notice notice that today's weather is pretty much identical to yesterday. Tonight, mostly clear with a low of 65. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High tomorrow, about 90. Another warm day. Tomorrow night, low in the middle 60s and still a slight chance of rain. The notable thing about Friday is that it'll be a little cooler with a high in the low 80s. 7:51 at WCHL. Time now for Wayne Pond and the word of the day on this September 11th. Good morning, Wayne.
Hey, big guy. How you doing?
Just good, but very reflectful today on September 11th.
It is a somber occasion, Ron. You are absolutely correct.
Yes, it is.
Well, let me
ask you, what were you where? Wayne, let me ask you, where were you and what were you doing on September 11th, 2001?
Well, my goodness, everybody has a vivid memory. I was sitting at my computer at a desk over at UNC Chapel Hill and having, I think, a cup of coffee and surfing the morning newspapers, and the computers basically froze. And first thing I remember was a small plane appears to have hit a skyscraper in New York City, something like that. And then the news became clear and devastating.
Wow. Pretty much the same image that we all have, and we've all seen it thousands of times, I guess. Well, Wayne, on a lighter note, you got a good word for us?
Considerably lighter. Huh. Yes, indeed. Well, we tried a little French yesterday. You remember that?
Yes.
Or two, was it? I don't know. It was within the past 100 years, you and I went down that. So here I'm going to step onto an even thinner sheet of ice, Ron. I'm going to try some Italian on you, see if you can get a winner this morning on this one. It's a toughie. The word of the day, I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I need a little help in case this isn't correct. The word of the day is cinquecento. Cinquecento, which is an Italian term, spelled, boy, I tell you, the disparity between the way it looks and the way it's pronounced. C as in cat, C-I-N-Q-U-E-C-E-N-T-O, cinquecento. I think I've got that right, but I welcome suggestions from your learned crowd of listeners.
No, I'll go along with what you said.
What?
I'll go along with what you said.
Cinquecento, this is a term used to describe the 16th century as a period in Italian art, when the artistic world reverted to what the wordsmith calls classical forms. You know, it'd be like you sitting around listening to the real Don Steele and Gary Owens and Don Imus. Bob Dell on Big Whoa and John Records Landecker. That would be Ron Stutz's Cinquecento.
Right. All right, Wayne.
All right, well,
thank you so
each
much.
Other in the fog of words. Cinquecento. Again, I think I got it right. Cinquecento. This is a period in Italian art. This is a toughie, pal. I'm holding my breath there. See if you get a winner.
Okay. All right, Wayne. Hey, by the way, ciao.
Hey, ciao. Ciaocito, viejo.
Have a good day, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Wayne Pond with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franken Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in, tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. And if you can do all that, if you can do it before anyone else, you can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 97.9 FM and WCHL. This is Ron Stutz and Lauren Stafford coming into the studio right now. How are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
Good to see you.
It is good to see you, as always.
You look good and happy and
thank you.
All cheerful and just totally content with your life.
Now I kind of feel like I've set the bar to always be happy and smiley.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of feel like now I can never disappoint.
You can never change.
Right. So even if I have the worst day ever, I feel like I'm going to have to come in here happy.
You always have to be happy. That's your job. You know, you're supposed to keep everybody up around here.
I feel like it is kind of my part-time job.
Well, you're in a good mood most of the time anyway, so it's not that much of a stretch.
That's right. Okay? Morale improver.
Sometimes the words are difficult to come
It's a bit early.
Yes,
it is. Just a little bit. All right. I have an educational joke.
Uh-oh.
All right. Is this going to be funny or is this going to be embarrassing for me?
No, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny.
Good.
The physics teacher says Isaac Newton was sitting under a tree when an apple fell on his head and he discovered gravity.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
The student replied, "Yes, sir. If he had been sitting in class looking at books like us, he wouldn't have discovered anything."
Smart kid.
I was about to say, smart out.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Hey, listen, thanks a bunch.
You are welcome.
You have a great day.
Have a fabulous day.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Irene Brigham is today's WCHL hometown hero, and yes, Irene has been our hometown hero before, but we thought it would be appropriate to honor her today because the IFC is celebrating its 25th anniversary of doing the RSVVP program. John Dorward, executive director of the IFC, is here to tell you all about that program and about Irene.
Back in 1989, the food bank actually had the idea given to it for RSVVP, and Irene got hold of that, and Irene said, "Shoot, let's just go ahead and do it over here in Apple Hill Carboro." So she ended up with 17 restaurants that first year, and they raised about $6,200.
From those humble beginnings, it has really built into quite an amazing thing. How many restaurants and businesses participate in it now?
We will average somewhere between 105 and 110 restaurants locally each year now, and we will raise anywhere from $22,000 to $25,000.
Why is it so important to the IFC?
Well, Ron, you know that the food programs that we run are the first things essentially that the agency got started doing many, many years ago. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, and food has always been a big part of what we do. The food pantry provides groceries to a variety of different households within the community, and the community kitchen offers 3 hot meals a day. So the money that comes from this allows us to be able to buy the little bit of food or those sorts of things that we just don't have donated, although most of it is donated. There are still expenses for running these programs.
For the few people in our audience who have not had the pleasure of being in contact with Irene Brigham, what is Irene like and what has she brought to this effort over the years?
Ron, Irene is a fireball. If you've never worked with Irene, Al, her husband, likes to liken her to a dog with a bone. And she is. I mean, Irene is one of those caring individuals who really wants to do a good job, who wants things to run smoothly. We are so lucky that part of the work that she volunteers on is RSVVP and the IFC. She's a delightful individual.
Thanks to John Dorward of the Interfaith Council. Irene Brigham's volunteer work in the Chapel Hill Carboro Orange County community is legendary. The Chapel Hill Carboro Chamber of Commerce even created the Irene Brigham Lifetime Achievement Award for her. She has dedicated her whole adult life to serving the community. She is what I would call a professional volunteer. And Irene Brigham, you are an absolute dynamo. Irene Brigham is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather brought to you by Carboro's locally owned adventure outfitters, Townsend Bertram & Company, celebrating their 25th anniversary this Saturday from 4 until 8 p.m. at Carmel Mall. The free event will have live music, activities for kids, and an outdoor beer garden, something fun for everybody in the family. So go to Townsend Bertram & Company on Saturday and help them celebrate. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill, mostly sunny today. High today about 90, tonight mostly clear with a low of 65. And then tomorrow, we're looking at much the same. On Friday, high only in the low 80s.
Local news all day, breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 8 o'clock.
Here is the equation. Commerce plus social equity plus environmental stewardship. In Chapel Hill, it all equals community.